friends in Christ, and family of Bethlehem return to the Lord. These are the words echoed every week now since we've been gathering in the season of Lent since Ash Wednesday. These are the words of the prophet Joel, return to the Lord. This isn't just a plea for a crazy year when we're coming back into the world and going back to our regular habits. This is a plea for your heart. A lot of things in life can keep us separated from the relationship that we have with our God. And this is a plea for you today. Return to the Lord. He is slow to anger, gracious, and merciful. So the last few weeks, we've been talking about how exactly we can see how we can turn to the Lord, how we can see of the goodness of our Lord. We talked about all the stories of the Old Testament, how God gave his promise to Father Abraham, that he would be a father of many nations. And we talked about how we could see the prayer of God answered perfectly. When we maybe pray about things we don't know about praying for, God answers our prayers in even better ways. Today we have another word to focus on in which we hear of our scripture lessons. We get to see the purpose of God at hand. Now, some of us might be wondering, what is my purpose? What is God's will for my life? To answer that, we first have to understand what Jesus' purpose and plan for. So what is it? Let me tell you. Today, in our readings, I love the Old Testament. So today is all about the Old Testament, but actually not. Our Old Testament, we had a reading today from an Old Testament prophet named Jeremiah. No, he was not a bullfrog. If you like that song. Jeremiah, he is a prophet, and we often call him the weeping prophet in the Bible because he's the one that always complains about God's people being not God's people, right? He's the weeping prophet. He always says about the doom and gloom and the woes, right? The stuff you don't want to read in your Bible. But today, this is the juicy nugget that we have from juicy Jeremiah. Here we go. This is what he says. The days are coming, declares the Lord, that I will make a new covenant. What's a covenant? It's a fancy word, means that you're going to strike up a deal. You're blood brothers, essentially. A new covenant with the house of Israel. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this, get this, this is the covenant that I will make with them after all this time. I will put my law not on stone tablets, but within them, and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. And no longer shall they say, know the Lord, for they all will know me, from the least to the greatest. And finally he says, for I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sin no more. Doesn't sound a whole lot like a weeping prophet. It doesn't sound like a guy that's pessimistic or doom and gloom. And I think that's the point. It's even probably surprising to him that these are the words that God filled the prophet Jeremiah, because he's giving a promise probably several hundred, 600, 700 years before that promise would even be fulfilled. He's preaching to a people that are down and out. They've not been exiled for a year for coronavirus. They've been exiled for 70 years by the Babylonians, and they had it enough. They've had to change their whole lifestyle. And yes, it'd be easy to be doom and gloom, but prophet Jeremiah gives them hope. We don't have to worry about living like we had under Moses, keeping all these ridiculous laws and ceremonial things. We have to take the best sheep and goats and then sacrifice them to shed their blood to pay for our sins. We don't have to do that anymore. There will be a day when we don't have to do that anymore, says Jeremiah. And the purpose is that there would be somebody that would take his own blood and be the one that be the sacrifice once and for all. And we hear that promise owned up, as Jesus said today in his speech to his disciples. They wanted to know who was going to be great among each other. They were selfish. They thought about the world and how to be the one to get all the likes, to get the most attention. But Jesus said to them in his new covenant, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. That's the purpose that we have, that God has in Jesus. Let's think about that a bit. If you know your Bible, the Old Covenant, the Law of Moses that still modern-day Jews cling to as their hope, the Old Covenant had several distinctive marks. It told how people should live out their lives, and people love rules and regulations. They love the Old Covenant. Almost every aspect of their life was regulated, from the kind of food that you could eat, all the way down to people, you could not touch dead bodies. That was the Old Covenant. You couldn't mix fabrics together. And two of the most prominent regulations of this Jewish law was the rite of circumcision. This was the literal cut of a deal between God and firstborn males. The Old Covenant required endless animal sacrifices. How many of you would love to have an animal sacrifice today? Be pretty messy. This Old Covenant established a hereditary priesthood based on only the family of one person, the brother of Moses named Aaron. Only the descendants of Aaron and the Levites could be priests. That seems a whole lot like the royal family, if you ask me. I don't know. Imagine that. We couldn't have anybody lead our country if it only came from one family. Could see how that could end up being a little troublesome. No one could minister at the Lord's altar except for a special group of people, and it gave privileges to one nationality. So you might even say it's racist. Now let's think about that. That was the old way of life in which people lived and maybe even loved to live that way. It was neat and orderly. Jeremiah is talking about something different. A new covenant would be something very different. No laws, no rules or regulations have to be kept by one particular people. It has no marks of how you live. It doesn't limit the priesthood. And even reminds us that everybody gets to be a priest. It invites all people, regardless of nationality, to believe. It sets aside ethnic, racial, and other boundaries in this new covenant. It urges all people to worship the Lord in their own way, in spirit and truth, as God will write his law on their minds and write it on their hearts. Instead of circumcision, it's now conversion, a transforming of a stone-cold heart into one that beats. Now, think about that. This is all biblical talk, right? Are you guys living in an old covenant in your life right now? Some of you are shaking your heads. No, I'm not sacrificing animals. No, I'm not doing the Jewish laws and regulations. But some of us are living in the past. Not just here in church, but in life in general. A lot of us love to live out our glory days. And we might even complain that things today aren't like they were in the past. Some of us have maybe lived in an old covenant. Now, as me being here already a full year as your new pastor, I've had the privilege of finding out all the interesting histories of this building, this place, and this church, and I love it. And I get to hear a lot of stories. And I get to hear all the whispers that people think that pastors don't get to hear about. I love it. You think, I don't know. But we might be living in the past sometimes. Think of it this way. Maybe we've liked different pastors more than the other ones. Maybe we've complained about the leaders God have placed in our church. Maybe we didn't like their messages. Maybe we didn't like their personality. Maybe we didn't like the teachers we had in our Sunday school or in our preschool. Maybe we are still living in an us versus them mentality. maybe we still have this idea in our head that we want to be a sheltered kind of organization, kind of like a clique or like a country club. We don't really need to worry about what's happening on the rest of the city. Maybe we're still living in the past in some ways. Think about it. Are you? This is just church. What about in your life? Are you living in the past? Are you living in an old covenant? We even hear that phrase to forgive and forget, right? We know forgiveness. It's biblical talk, right? Forgiveness might come a little bit easier because our Lord taught us how to forgive, but to forget? Uh-uh. How many of you forget the wrongs somebody did to you? Do you forget all the mistakes that maybe you have incurred over your life? The time we lost our temper, the minute we lost our innocence, the years that we spent coasting, idling, away from our families. And we still remember those times. We still remember the hurts of the past, don't we? But are we still holding on to them? That's what it means to live in the past. That's what it means to live in the old covenant. So what do we do when the world pushes back the failures of the past, the discouragements of the past? What happens when the devil likes to take all the stuff of this past year and put it right smack in your face, where even your families are disagreeing over how to live? What do you do with that stuff? For us, it'd be easy to be like Jeremiah and complain, maybe even be apathetic, be a weeping prophet. Or we could see a better way. Today, we have the benefit of seeing the cross and knowing, says Jeremiah, we know what the cross accomplished. It was there where Jesus took all the sacrifices that ever could have been made and summed them up all in his entire blood shed for you and for me. So if you have those hurts, maybe you have a memory you just can't shake. Maybe you have a past grudge against somebody that you're still holding on to. Maybe it's a person you live with at home. Part of living in the new covenant means that you can take that burden, put it on the foot of the cross, where Jesus is the only one that can do something about it. Take your burdens and put them on the shoulders of our Lord, because he's the one that can handle it. And he says so. I've came to serve. Let God be of service to you. Don't try to be God yourself and think you can handle it all. That's what the new covenant is that we're talking about. This is the purpose of God that we have to look forward to as we approach Holy Week. The new covenant that we're talking about, this new art of the deal that we get from our God, it proclaims a salvation complete. It's finished. We don't have to worry about doing anything. But we do things because we make others better. We have salvation. We like to work hard for stuff in life, don't we? It's a natural way of thinking. We put in our time, we get paid. We put in the homework, we get good grades. We don't live a good life in order to be saved. Jesus already did it. Don't take it away from him, because you can't. We live a good life because it benefits everybody here and everybody that you'll meet. It's a new covenant sealed in your baptism. That's why we begin our worship remembering that. As you walk past the baptismal font, know that you are already in the family of God. And that's a covenant that isn't shed through blood. It's a covenant that's poured out on you, that seals your fate. The marvel of this new covenant doesn't even stop there. God loves to heap grace upon grace in an equally wondrous and marvelous way. God continues to share a meal. He sits down with us. In our communion meal, he draws us even to himself. He gives us the supreme gift of his own body and blood. With these gifts, he gives us the gift of forgiveness. Forgiveness. He removes our doubt that might still linger. He comes to us personally, and he makes a relationship, not just a covenant. He makes a relationship with you and him. And we are united and bonded to him so that we are joined in one body, the church. We're gathering here today in a little village in Wisconsin, but yet when we are bonded with the body of Christ here at this altar, in our seats, wherever we are bonded with not only a people across the world, but a people beyond all time and space. You're bonded with every single one that knelt at the Lord's altar and is in the arms of our Lord still today. That's the vision Jeremiah saw that shook him from his weeping. He saw the day of Christ and was glad. That's the purpose God has in Jesus. He came to serve you. And that's your purpose as well. It's in our very own mission statement here at Bethlehem. We are always guided by the light of Christ, whether we want to follow it or not, but the first thing we do is serve his love. And then we get to shine it. And then finally, with our, the only particular way you can, you get to share it. That's your purpose. Serve, shine, and share once more today. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for making us your people by forming this relationship that stands the test of time. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to reunite with the people that maybe have hurt us in the past. Reunite with people that need us still today and help us form relationships. Because when we form relationships, we serve you and we serve others. And we get to see your love behind it all. Amen.